It's autumn, but it hasn't felt like it. And as the summer-like conditions stay with us for a few more days, mosquito-borne viruses are taking a toll on our region. As we prepared our program for broadcast today, Connecticut health officials said that a third Connecticut resident had died from EEE, Eastern Equine Encephalitis, and a fourth has tested positive. As always, our newscasts at the top of the hour will have the latest information. Welcome to the full story on WSHU and online at WSHU.org. I'm Ron Ropiak. Thank you for being a part of our show today. And we have talked about this issue before, but we wanted to have another informational program today about this because of the impact it's having on our region right now. Before we get started with the discussion, if you would like to comment or to ask a question, please drop us an email. We're at tfs@wshu.org, or you can leave us a comment on our Facebook page at Full Story WSHU. There's a lot to find out, so we're going to get right to it. Amanda Kuda is a reporter. She covers health for the Connecticut Post. She hasn't been on with us yet, and it's a pleasure to welcome her to the Full Story. Hi, Amanda. How are you?
Good. How are you, Ron?
I'm fine, thank you. Amanda, give us some definitions. We're talking specifically about EEE, Eastern Equine Encephalitis, but also West Nile virus. What are they?
They're basically these mosquito-borne diseases. They're, you know, in most people, West Nile in particular just causes mild flu-like illness. In some cases, in older people in particular and other people with compromised immune systems, they can definitely be more severe. EEE is especially rare, which is why, and I'm sure you'll get to this, why what we're seeing this season is so alarming to a lot of people. And that is, I believe, the more deadly of the two. So, yeah, these two mosquito-borne illnesses that do circulate can make people very sick and can be fatal in some instances.
Now, Amanda, we didn't hear much about this earlier this year. Why now?
Why not? Well, because mosquito season starts, it runs from June, that's when the state starts testing mosquito, trapping and testing mosquitoes, around June, about the second week of June, and it runs until sometime in October. It was a slow start to the season for a variety of reasons. I'm not sure exactly all of them. I think last year was a particularly bad West Nile season. This one was not so bad for West Nile. It was worse for Eastern Equine Encephalitis virus, but the season did get off to a late start for some reason, and it started to pick up, I want to say, around late August, early September, which is why you were seeing more of these reports. And also, it's worth noting that the state's results and its information, there are a couple weeks, the testing data comes out a couple of weeks after the mosquitoes are actually trapped. So you're getting things that, you know, there might have been a ton of mosquitoes 2 weeks ago, and there might have been a load of virus 2 weeks ago. This is just an example. But by the time we get it, it might be starting to taper off by the time the information comes out. So it's sort of it's a variety of factors why we're hearing about it now.
Hmm. Now, in terms of these mosquitoes, are they in any specific areas in Connecticut? Are they widespread, or are they just in coastal towns or any cities?
Well, it depends on what mosquitoes you're talking about. The ones that carry Eastern Equine Encephalitis virus do tend to be on the eastern side of the state. You know, you usually see them in places like Stonington, Voluntown, North Stonington, those areas. They did have one mosquito test positive for EEE in Shelton. I believe that was the first one in Fairfield County in, I want to say, a decade is what I was told by the state. Now, West Nile virus is a bit more widespread. You see a lot of that in Fairfield and New Haven counties.
Amanda, what happens if you get stung by a mosquito which is positive for EEE? What happens to you?
You know, you develop, I imagine you develop the symptoms of EEE. You know, I think you're better off maybe asking the Department of Health about that, but you do develop symptoms. Again, now I'm not sure with the EEE if it is, if you do get the mild symptoms that you might get with the West Nile virus. I do know that in the more severe cases, you can get something called encephalitis, of course, which is a swelling of the brain, and that is where you can really get into trouble. You can get very sick. Mm-hmm. I believe people who do recover from that can sometimes have long-lasting effects. But it is very severe. I'm sure people who get, you know, and I don't know exactly how you know the difference between getting Eastern equine encephalitis virus and getting something else, but I imagine the whole thing is if you have any kind of troubling symptoms, high fever, anything of that nature, definitely go see a doctor.
Sure, and I should mention that right after we finish speaking with you and after the break, we'll have some public health officials who will be able to give us some advice and also tell us exactly what the symptoms are.
Right, yeah, actual medical folk, as opposed to me, who is going from secondhand information.
Amanda, what are the state and local officials doing about this? More spraying, telling people to stay indoors, what?
It's a lot of information. It's a lot of information that they are putting out. They're really, I don't know if you've seen some of these signs on the highway that there's an EEE alert. There's been signs all over the highway for the past, not even quite a week, telling people to stay inside between the dusk and dawn hours where mosquitoes are most prevalent, wear long sleeve shirts and long pants when appropriate. Use insect repellent. Basically, take all the precautions that you need to. They've really been beating the drum about this. Anytime I even reach out to any official with the state or with a medical facility, they'll tell me what's going on, and then they'll say, remember, you need to use insect repellent. You need to cover your skin. You need to be indoors during these hours. So, it is a lot of information. It's a big information campaign to get the word out there to protect yourself.
Hey, Amanda, you know, there are some homeowners who are hiring companies because they're worried about what's going on. They're hiring companies to come and spray their properties, or they're even doing it themselves. Do you have any information about that? Does this work? Can this be dangerous?
Well, I don't have much information about that per se. I can tell you, you're nearing the end of mosquito season. The number of mosquitoes that are being trapped by the state is declining rapidly. I do actually have some numbers for you. The most recent, the latest batch of numbers was released by the state. In the week of September 15th, that's the most recent data they have available, there were 2,443 mosquitoes trapped for testing in the state. Just the week before, it was 4,696. Now, that is quite a drop. It is tapering rapidly. The number of mosquitoes with the virus is tapering off rapidly. So you can ask somebody else. I don't take my word for it, but I do think that the time for panic is not necessarily now. The time for caution and taking some of those precautions that the state has recommended, but not necessarily the time for panic as the season starts to head toward a close.
Have you talked with anyone about what some schools are doing in terms of outdoor activities?
I have a little. I talked to a few last week. I know Oxford is one I know for sure. They have canceled an event, Dancing Under the Stars. I know there have been some other places as well. Oxford was interesting. I talked to them last week. Now, there haven't been any EEE positive mosquitoes actually found in Oxford, and they said that this was an abundance of caution that caused them to cancel the event. Now, I did mention before that there was a mosquito found in Shelton some time
right.
ago. To my knowledge, I talked to the Naugatuck Valley Health District last week. They were not planning to cancel any outdoor events because they said the mosquito tested positive so long ago. There's been no future further positive results. Alarm level is very low, so there wasn't really a reason to be canceling things.
And as you said,
I think it's very much on a case-by-case basis.
Yeah, and as you said earlier, the statistics say that most of those mosquitoes infected are in the eastern part of the state.
Right, right. So it's not as big in our area.
I know I only have you for another minute or two. just with that, are there any age groups that are considered more vulnerable to infections? I guess the elderly, the very young,
yes,
those
the elderly
with...
for sure.
Okay.
The people who passed away from Eastern Equine Encephalitis Virus, the state did call them older adults. There was no other information given, but they were older. And that does seem to be the primary group affected when there is a case of a mosquito-borne disease. Other groups that do tend to be vulnerable, like I said, those with compromised immune systems, you know, those who've, I guess, gone through chemotherapy or something, anything that compromises your immune system, they can be kind of vulnerable to these things as well. But yes, certainly the elderly are those that that do need to watch out for these kind of things and limit their exposure.
Amanda, finally, what have you heard about some who say that this is related to our warming planet, the climate crisis?
Yeah, certainly I do believe, and you can, again, ask the experts, but when the weather gets warmer, I've been told you'll get more mosquitoes. And as we see more warm days and more warm weather, it follows that there would be more mosquitoes. So I do, that's sort of the reasoning for why they're saying it's connected to climate change and the warming planet. More heat tends to mean more mosquitoes.
Amanda Kuda, she covers health for the Connecticut Post. You could read her reports all the time and get the paper or do it online. Thanks, Amanda. Next time we'll get you here into the studio.
Very good. Thank you so much.
And we are going to continue with our discussion about Eastern Equine Encephalitis and West Nile virus. Dr. Jocelyn Mullins is coordinator, Epidemiology and Emerging Infections Program, State Public Health Veterinarian, Connecticut Department of Public Health. Dr. Mullins, welcome. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Mullins, what should we know about what's taking place right now? What precautions should we be taking?
Right. Well, we know that we have seen unusual activity of the Eastern Equine Encephalitis virus in mosquitoes here this year in Connecticut. And so we encourage all residents, especially those people who are east of the Connecticut River, where we have seen the most activity, to take precautions to protect themselves from mosquito bites. And those precautions include things like using mosquito repellents, wearing long sleeves and long pants so the mosquitoes can't bite their skin. And residents who are in areas that have seen a lot of activity of the virus in mosquitoes or horses, for example, should consider minimizing the time that they spend outdoors during dusk and dawn when mosquitoes are most active. And if people need to be outdoors, then they should take all of those precautions that I just mentioned.
Dr. Mullins, are these mosquitoes in any specific areas, just in any specific towns, or can they be widespread across the entire state?
Well, the biology of the virus is such that it has maintained in a cycle between birds and species of mosquitoes that feed or bite almost exclusively on birds. And those particular mosquitoes prefer to live in our freshwater hardwood swamps that we have in certain parts of Connecticut, particularly eastern Connecticut. And so periodically, a mosquito that also bites mammals will pick up that virus. And so really, we see it mostly in those areas of eastern Connecticut.
Joining in the conversation now is Dr. Theodore Andriadis, who is the director of the Connecticut Agricultural Experiment Station and a clinical professor with the Epidemiology of Microbial Disease Division at Yale University School of Public Health. Dr. Andriadis, welcome, sir. How are you?
Good.
Dr. Andriadis, what is causing all this?
Well, we have a very unusual year. We've got very widespread activity with Eastern Equine Encephalitis. This is a virus that occurs very sporadically in the Northeast. It's been with us for quite some time, dating back to 1938. It's a virus that typically occurs in wild perching bird populations, and it's transmitted by a particular type of mosquito that develops in these freshwater hardwood swamps. And this year, for whatever reason, we've had widespread activity not only here in Connecticut, but also throughout many areas of the Northeast, especially Massachusetts and Rhode Island.
Doctor, what happens if you get stung by a mosquito, which has
You don't get stung.
I'm sorry.
Bees sting you and wasps will sting you, but mosquitoes won't. They bite you.
They bite you.
And we do know that some people who get bitten by infected mosquito will develop very mild or no symptoms at all. However, in a certain portion of the population, especially our elderly population and children under the age of 15, are most susceptible to the virus. And typical symptoms, if you do contract Eastern equine encephalitis, usually include high fever, vomiting, nausea, severe headache, and this can further develop into seizures and eventually coma. Unfortunately, this is a pretty nasty virus. It is the most pathogenic virus that we have, that we are aware of in North America, and it does unfortunately have a case fatality rate of approximately 30%. And those individuals who do develop these severe clinical symptoms, if they are fortunate enough to survive, almost always have some form of permanent neurological damage.
Dr. Mullins, if I think I have these symptoms, what should I do?
Well, if you develop a sudden onset of fever, aches and pains, and you think that you may be developing either Eastern equine encephalitis or West Nile virus disease, then you should call your medical provider as soon as possible and tell them about your concerns.
Dr. Andriotis, I could hear you taking a breath, so I think you want to join in?
No, I think what Jocelyn said is absolutely correct. Anyone who does develop these types of clinical symptoms, especially if they recall being bitten by mosquitoes, should certainly seek medical attention.
Dr. Andriotis, what are the state and local officials doing about this? Is it basically just getting the word out and spraying?
Well, we have been monitoring the situation very closely all summer. We had our first indication of eastern activity in late July and have been monitoring very closely. Early on, we saw fairly high levels of activity in the extreme southeastern corner of the state in the Voluntown area, specifically in the Patchogue State Forest. And at that time, because we were seeing a lot of activity, we thought there was would be wise to close the campgrounds, which the DEP did. And we had the DEP come in and do some local ground spraying in that area to try to contain this. As we move forward during the course of the summer, we continued to see virus activity as it was spreading to other areas. We had a number of horse cases to date. We've had six. And we have been having weekly conference calls with the local officials. At this stage, pesticide spraying is not warranted. We do not believe at this late juncture that any broadcast spraying of pesticides either by ground or from aircraft would be beneficial and provide any additional protection to the public. So we are just alerting the public. We think that the highest level of risk, and it's quite low right now, is really just over in the eastern half of the state, and we are continuing to recommend to local officials that they curtail after-school activities 1 hour before dusk and continue it through the evening hours. And we have noticed that the weather conditions are going to change after tomorrow, and we're going to be moving into a period of relatively cooler temperatures with maximum temperatures during the week only 60 degrees and then lows in the 40s. And with that kind of temperatures, mosquito biting activity will be greatly reduced. In our testing and trapping, we're seeing great reductions in not only the overall number of mosquitoes, but it also the number that are testing positive. So we're almost out of the woods on this, and I think in another week or so, we're going to be home free.
Dr. Mullins, can I just pick up on what Dr. Andriotis was just talking about? Because I've been told that there are still some homeowners who are hiring companies to go and spray their properties, or they're even doing it themselves. So it sounds from what Dr. Andriotis was saying, at this point, will it make any difference? Does it help? Does it work? Does it matter?
Well, I think the most important thing is as Dr. Andriotis said, that our mosquito populations are already declining. And I'll defer to the experts on pesticide and spraying use. We continue to emphasize that really those personal precautions are really the best things that people in affected areas can do to protect themselves from mosquito bites.
Dr. Andriotis, what about In terms of advice for schools or school officials who may be listening to this right now and hearing what you have to say, should any of the outdoor activities be closely monitored or checked over the next week or two?
There's no real risk during broad daylight hours, and so there's no real need to curtail activities. If you've got, you know, outdoor recess during the middle of the day, there's no real risk at that time. The risk really is pretty much limited to those early evening hours when the mosquitoes are out looking for someone to feed on. And that typically occurs right around dusk or just before that. And at that time, temperatures are still mild enough so that the mosquitoes would be active. I don't have as great a concern in the early morning hours because it's quite cool, so mosquito biting activity would not be that aggressive. And once again, it's really just the eastern half of the state. Folks living in Litchfield County, Lower Fairfield County, for example, there's no real risk. There's no reason at all for officials to alter any after-school activities, football games, or that sort of thing in those areas of the state. It's just the eastern half of the state.
Dr. Andriotis, I have to ask you, because I saw you commented on this in a newspaper report recently, what about those who say that this is related to our warming planet, the climate crisis? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's an interesting question, and if we look at the patterns that we're currently experiencing and looking at the projections that would be associated with climate change, they call for milder winter temperatures, which would certainly increase the overwintering survival of mosquitoes because it's temperature dependent, and along with that could very well be the survival of the virus. Secondly, if we have hotter, longer summers, this could extend the mosquito season so that where it may only last, 10 weeks, and most years it could extend to 12. And then lastly, with the extreme weather events that we are projected to have, and we seem to be currently experiencing with heavier amounts of rainfall resulting in flooding and raising water tables, this could also increase habitat for mosquitoes. So to answer your question, the projections that for weather conditions that are associated with climate change would certainly be conducive to a enhancing mosquito and virus activity, but we'll just have to wait and see. And of course, each year is a little bit different and totally dependent on local weather conditions that we experience in that particular season.
Dr. Mullins, where can our listeners go for more information?
Well, they can get really good information on the Triple E virus disease and prevention at the CDC website, so cdc.gov/Eastern Equine Encephalitis.
Dr. Jocelyn Mullins, Coordinator, Epidemiology and Emerging Infections Program, State Public Health Veterinarian, Connecticut Department of Public Health, and Dr. Theodore Andriotis is the director of the Connecticut Agricultural Experiment Station and a clinical professor with the Epidemiology of Microbial Disease Division at Yale University School of Public Health. Thank you both for your time and the valuable information. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
And we continue with our program about mosquito-borne viruses, specifically about EEE, Eastern Equine Encephalitis, and West Nile virus. Bridget Fleming is a Suffolk County legislator of Sag Harbor, and she is known for her work for clean water and the environment. And Legislator Fleming, welcome back. As always, we appreciate your time.
Oh, and I'm so happy to be here. Thank you, Ron.
As we speak, and as you know, the news always changes, Suffolk County is one of two counties in New York State that have found mosquitoes that have tested positive with EEE. What are you hearing? What's the latest information that you have?
That is the case. I'm happy to say that we see, really, for the most part, a continuing downward trend in the incidence of mosquito-borne illness in our county. But we did find some infected mosquitoes in the Manorville area on September the 18th. That was with the Eastern Equine Encephalitis. And of course, as you know, it's a very, it can be a very dangerous disease. So we take it extremely seriously. But we have not had any incidents of human infection. West Nile virus is also, we actually had one sample that tested positive for West Nile virus in that same sample that was in the Manorville area of Suffolk County back on September the 18th. And with West Nile, we have had two people infected with West Nile. They are both recovering, I'm happy to say, but it is something that we have to keep an eye on and take very seriously. Suffolk County Department of Health Services has a lab where they do the testing for some of these infections and diseases. And we also have a vector control program under our Public Works department that engages in a regular mosquito control program that includes aerial spraying of pesticides. Pesticides themselves, as you know, have their own downside, so to speak, environmental impact. So we have to carefully balance how to manage any risk for human disease while at the same time being as mindful about reducing pesticide use as possible. But I think vector control, by and large, is doing a very good job, along with education on teaching people how to avoid getting bitten by mosquitoes. I think we are, I'm happy with the efforts that we've made so far to reduce exposure for humans, to contract any kind of illness.
Legislator Fleming, what about for schools and for outdoor activities? How should they handle this?
Well, they need to be aware of the concerns. And the first thing everyone, schools as well as residents, have to do is understand that mosquitoes breed in standing water. It's a simple fix. If there is no standing water, you are not going to have mosquito breeding. So even as small as like in the top of a bottle cap, you can have a breeding ground for mosquitoes. So especially as we see temperatures warming and, rain events more frequent, with more impact, we need to make sure that folks understand you've just got to go outside, shake off any plastic coverings on your furniture that might have water pooling in it, get rid of the water in the bird feeders, get rid of the water that might be in these little, a pair of water shoes that might be sitting outside or a bottle cap. That's a very, very important thing to do. You also want to just make sure you spray your kids and know that it's dusk to dawn that mosquitoes are most prevalent and biting. It's the female mosquitoes that need a blood meal to do their, to produce their eggs. So it's at that time that they're doing that from dusk to dawn. So you need to be especially mindful that folks have, and especially kids and the elderly, have mosquito repellent on them when they're outside.
I only have a minute left with you, and I know we could go on with this next question for about an hour, but and we've heard from others earlier in the show. What do you think is causing this?
When you say causing this, just clarify for me what you mean.
Sure. It's basically these are diseases that were not so prevalent in years past, but we're hearing more and more about them nowadays.
Sure. Well, in fact, we had more incidences of West Nile in 2010. We've seen overall a trend of reduction in the incidence of these illnesses since we've been testing. But I do think that we need to look at warming temperatures and increased rain events and just be mindful. These are impacts of climate change that are happening in all sectors of our environment. We have more swamps. Hexter Park is a good example. We used to have, that used to be a completely dry forest and is now swamping in the summer season. So we've now had to spray that with mosquito pesticides. So we are seeing impacts from the environment, but we need to just stay on top of it and make sure that people are educated as to how to avoid the risk.
Bridget Fleming, Suffolk County Legislator of Sag Harbor. Legislator Fleming, as always, thank you. We appreciate your time.
Thank you for your very interesting shows, Ron. I'm happy to be a part of it.
And let's wrap up today's program by speaking with Tom Iwaneko. Tom is the superintendent of the Division of Vector Control with the Suffolk County Department of Public Works. He and his crew are responsible for controlling the mosquito population on Long Island. It's a big job. Tom, thanks for joining us.
Nice being here, Ron.
Tom, you're the one when everything goes fine, no one knows about you, right? And at other times, everyone wants to know where you've been?
Correct. We're kind of like the silent troops here, kind of like in the snowstorm. You don't really think about us till you need us, then we're there.
Tom, how many years have you been doing this?
I've been with Suffolk County doing work with mosquito control for about 25 years now.
All right. So how would you compare what's going on now to past years?
Okay. The season started out very quiet. We had a very cold, rainy winter, spring. So we kind of thought West Nile might not be a big issue this year, but it kept nagging at me that conditions were prime for eastern equine encephalitis, EEE. And as the season played out, unfortunately, we found that was true, not just here, but throughout the Northeast.
You said you were nagged by this. I'm just curious about that. I mean, were you seeing something? Was this almost instinctual on your part?
I think, yeah, after doing it several years, you kind of get a feeling for when conditions are prime. Triple E is usually in the freshwater swamps. Our swamps, the water levels were very high after several years of drought conditions. And some of the indicated species, the Culicida melanor, their numbers were starting to go up high. So you're kind of, all the conditions were ideal to start seeing a Triple E virus in the area. Plus, last year, all the surrounding states and counties saw it. So we were kind of like the oddball that we didn't see it last year. So you kind of had a feeling something was up.
Hmm. And are you seeing it up in specific areas?
We have about 8 sites throughout Suffolk County that we've seen it in the past. And the site we saw it this year, Manaville, is kind of a typical location. It's a red cedar swamp. It was a historic cranberry bog, so it had a lot of areas that were impounded. So it was ideal conditions for the water, the ideal tree canopy and such for the Culicida melanor mosquito that carries typically the Triple E virus from the birds, and it cycles the virus.
Legislator Bridget Fleming was just on with us, and she said part of the problem, I think this goes back to what you were just saying, is that some areas that used to be dry are now swampy. Is that a good chunk of the problem?
Correct. Yes, correct. Actually, I looked at some of the USGS monitoring data, and this year all their groundwater monitoring well locations were well above normal. So throughout at least Suffolk County, the water conditions were ideal to flood a lot of these swampy areas that were for the last, say, 5-10 years, fairly dry.
Hmm. Tom, how many people do you have in your department working on this?
We have 28 that work for mosquito control, including office staff and laboratory staff. Out in the field, there's about 16 crews that actually do the control work for us.
Is that enough?
It's never enough. Yeah.
And when you say control, are we talking about spraying?
Yes, they'll treat for the larvae. They check larvae. We also do the West Nile virus control as well, plus the control of salt marsh mosquitoes and other mosquitoes, backyard container mosquitoes. So basically, we have a crew of, say, 16 out in the field covering a population of approximately 1.5 million.
Tom, you know, and I know that there are some homeowners who are doing it themselves on their property. Does that conflict with anything that you're doing? And do you think it's a good idea for people to do this to their own properties?
We encourage people to do proper mosquito control, dumping containers, trying to keep fish in fish ponds, keep your pools filtered, running with chlorine and such. When people start to go out and spraying on their own, that's when you really have to follow the pesticide formulas. You have to make sure you're reading the label, copying the lore of the label, and that's where people can run into trouble if they misapply, and then the regulatory agencies might come after these people. So we work with the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation. These areas that we're treating are historically freshwater swamps, so we have permits in place that allow us to apply. So when we have the Triple E this year, we call up the state, we tell them we have virus in your area, these are the freshwater swamps we need to spray, and then they start the process of getting us the permits in place, and then we have to follow up with the reports of our activities.
Tom, when are you going to wrap up your efforts for the year?
We're trying to close up shop now. You know, usually about October 1st is the end of the season, but each year it seems like the warm weather is persisting later and later, and telephone calls, you know, won't stop until the first frost.
Tom Iwanecko, the superintendent of the Division of Vector Control with the Suffolk County Department of Public Works. Thanks, Tom. Best of luck to you.
Thank you, Ron.
Appreciate it.